It's almost time for that 3-day weekend. Who's pumped?
Woohoo!
Who's pumped? Come on.
Yeah. Pumped. Waste the roof.
Who?
Now you can be a little more excited than that.
I'm pacing myself.
You know we have another podcast to do later today, Al. Don't forget. We have a mailbag later this afternoon.
Yeah, as I said.
Oh, I was
all about pacing.
I wasn't invited to this.
Do you want
to
be on it, Eric? I have a feeling you're going to be like, sorry, I have too much stuff to do.
Depends what time it is. We'll see.
You have too much stuff. All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast. We got our video show live at noon Eastern time to help you set your lineup. I think we'll do some of that stuff on the mailbag show as well. Might as well look at the two-star pitchers and get Scott's best and worst hitting matchups. Today we have prospects to talk about. Deep league guys I want to talk about, like Kike Hernandez and Miles Michaelis, etc. And a bunch of starting pitchers who are like 30 to 60% owned that I want you guys to make sense of. But thanks to Michael Hurkum's great idea, today is going to be a rankings review where we're going to pick apart each other's rankings. And I don't use the word criminal too often, but Al's ranking of Hyunjin Ryu is straight up criminal.
So does that mean I have to go to fantasy jail?
51st in points.
Or fantasy court at least.
And 50. Did you move him up?
No.
And 50th in Roto.
You're
going
to be
still criminal.
Prosecuted to the fullest, my friend.
Yeah, you're going to fantasy court. All right. Anyway, let's get to the big news. And by the way, go to cbssports.com/fantasyparty if you're a fantasy football fan. And check out our draft party August 23rd in Foxborough. So if you're in the area, anywhere around there, come on down. It's free. It's fun. cbssports.com/fantasyparty. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com and put baseball podcast in the subject line or grade the trade. Let's get to it. Hanley Ramirez, if he's not ready to play today, he could be placed on the DL. And Joe Mauer's on the DL with an oblique strain. Any shortstop replacements that come to mind?
Maybe if Danny Santana was dropped, then he's coming back from the DL. And
that's a good call.
Eugenio Suarez, I'm hoping, is going to start producing like he did earlier. So maybe two guys available.
Yep, Brad Miller in shallower leagues. I'm crushing on Angelton Simmons right now, guys.
Yeah. You know I like hearing that.
Do you know why?
You know who's not?
Who?
Michael Hurkum.
Why not?
Because he has him ranked 21st, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, is that one of your rankings disputes?
It could be.
It should be.
Let's
get the party started right now, because I'm excited about Angelton Simmons. We talked about this earlier in the year. Slash line is very similar to last year. The batting average and the on-base. In fact, the on-base percentage are identical, and it's under 300, which is not good. But last year, Angelton Simmons was the number 9 shortstop in points leagues, number 11 in Roto. Now, he hit 17 home runs and only has 5 this year. That's obviously a big part of it. But another big part of it for Angelton Simmons, he scored 76 runs in 2013. He has scored 23 this year. But he's batting second. And in 9 games batting second, he's got 3 steals. Oh, no, 2 steals, 3 on the year, 6 runs, which is great. And he's batting .289. So the power hasn't been there. But the runs are going to go up, and his production is going to go up for fantasy owners. That's my 2 cents.
All right. You didn't say anything that I won't co-sign.
What about the power? Do you think that will come?
I do. It's just, you know, for him to show that in his first full season, it's not just going to evaporate in his pre-peak years.
Right.
I think there's a very good chance that power returns.
What's your beef, Herc?
Right now, he just hasn't been producing. Those other shortstops ahead of him I have ranked, I mean, there's... I could easily move him in front of Santana and Suarez, who I have him behind right now. But, you know, shortstop's not as bad a position as we think it is. You know, there's good value to be in the 10 to 20 range. I can move him up, but right now, we're not a month into the season. We're halfway through the season. So this is why I have some guys a little lower than other guys.
Okay. Yeah, you have him 21st in rotisserie. And in points, you have him 21st as well. So if Brad Miller and Angelton Simmons are both out there right now, you're picking up Miller?
Yeah.
How about you?
I'll take Simmons. I'd be happy to have either.
Okay. How about catcher replacements? We talked about Vogt. We've kind of done this. Vogt in deep leagues could be a good one. Wellington Castillo homered yesterday.
I'm surprised by the number, and this is obviously for one catcher leagues, but I'm surprised by the number of questions we've gotten lately about should I pick up Yan Gomes?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess I could take a quick look at what his ownership rate is.
Would you rather own Gomes or Wilson Ramos? Because yesterday you seemed enthused about picking up Wilson Ramos if you needed one, if you needed a catcher.
I knew I had next to each other. Yeah, I do have Gomes one spot ahead. So
okay. And Chris Parmalee started at first base. He went 2-for-4. He's on a 12-game hitting streak with a home run and four doubles. Anybody interested in Parmalee?
No.
Deep leagues. And I'm sorry, I did check on Gomes. 75% owned.
Oh.
I feel like that is a little low.
I thought it would be actually lower than that based on the way he's played.
Yeah.
But
Parmalee, yeah, I mean, I've already gone through a couple of cycles of being enticed by his power. And he's hitting for average now. The power still hasn't been that impressive, so I'm not rushing out to get him.
I guess the big takeaway from the Maurer injury is if Parmalee plays first, then that means Oswaldo Arcia and Josh Willingham shouldn't have any problem getting playing time on a regular basis. All right, prospect stuff. Arizmendi Alcantara, Cubs middle infielder.
I could actually say that before we got on the podcast. So.
Shortstop eligible. Is he on his way up, Herc?
Yeah, I think he's pretty close the way the Cubs are talking. And he's versatile enough to play the outfield, second and short. So I think they want to have that player on their bench.
So is he a – yesterday we did the video show we did down on the farm, and Al, you said he's the hitter that's the most stashable right now. Batting .310, by the way, with 10 home runs and 20 steals at AAA in the PCL.
Right. So not only is there that – power speed combo that's nice, the shortstop eligibility that's even nicer that you mentioned, but he's in a situation where there's the greatest need for him to come up.
Yeah, I wrote about him in the prospects report this week, and I think his pro potential is 15 homers, 30 stolen base. I think his power numbers are a little inflated by the PCL this year, because if you look at his slugging percentage before, it really wasn't that good, but he's only 22 and he's getting better.
Okay, how about Yankees second base prospect Robert Refsnyder? Is he close to a promotion?
I am not as certain. They're really talking about him because he's having a heck of a season. I think he's going to be up. But, you know, the Yankee players, they love Brian Roberts. They said his hits aren't falling. They said he's had a lot of bad luck this year. So, to me, like, you know, he's not on. I think Alcantara is closer than Refsnyder. So I would stash Alcantara over Refsnyder. And Refsnyder, to me, is Tommy La Stella with a little more power. So that's not a mustache guy.
All right, not a mustache guy. Wednesday's well, standouts.
That's just because he plays for the Yankees.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah.
Can't have the stash there. Wednesday standouts. I only had two guys that I really wanted to talk about, and I just talked about Angelton Simmons. So the other one would be Tyson Ross. Complete game 3-hit shutout with 9 strikeouts and no walks against the Reds. And he entered the game with a 2.39 ERA at home, 4.18 on the road. Give me your 2 cents, Al, on Tyson Ross.
2 cents.
That's it right there.
Yeah.
That was it.
Two words.
Yeah.
Ross can turn in this kind of performance at any time. And I think more often than he's going to turn in the ones where he walks five guys and lasts, you know, five innings. But he will give you those. So he's got this kind of ace stuff, but not the consistency still.
Who stood out to you guys yesterday?
In terms of pitchers, there's really two. Chris Young.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
wow.
And I know we're going to talk about some of the Astros that hit against him. But so him and Tyler Skaggs. And Chris Young, that was a blown call on Fantasy Baseball Today yesterday, actually by both of us.
By both of us.
Thinking that Houston was a bad matchup for him. And I watched most of that game. And Young just looked awesome. He got 8 strikeouts, only 1 ground ball out. So it was a lot of fly ball outs, which is the usual for him. A lot of strikeouts, which is unusual for Young. But I think, you know, in fact, the exact wording I used was he doesn't have the stuff to take advantage of the Houston lineup and get the strikeouts. That's exactly what Chris Young did, is he did take advantage of that lineup and get them to chase pitches up in the zone that they were, you know, not. The broadcasters even, you know, made the point. They're not used to pitches that high in the zone with that little velocity.
Mm.
And they were all, you know, ahead of the pitch.
Interesting.
So a lot of strikeouts, a lot of weak contact. And you know, Chris Young, he can do this away from away from Safeco. The problem is, you know, if you do get a better lineup in a better venue, he gave up 2 solo homers in this game. I mean, that's always going to be the weakness for Chris Young, is giving up the long ball.
And you know what? That's a good segue, because you mentioned Skaggs as well, to look at this group of pitchers owned in anywhere from 34 to 67, or 32 with Chris Young. to 67% of leagues with Chris Tillman. So from Chris to Chris, let's take a look at this whole group of pitchers who pitched yesterday. And you, I want you guys to tell me who you would prioritize. Jake Odorizzi, another disappointing road start. Couldn't get through six. 5 2/3, 8 hits, 3 runs at the Yankees. And one of the home runs he gave up was just like a classic, pathetic Yankee Stadium Brian McCann home run. So it could have been better.
McCann's got 3 home runs in his last 13 games. You're not buying it that he's about to...
At home, sure.
Okay.
Are they all at home?
I can't remember if they're all at home.
Because he's starting to take advantage of that porch.
I wish I had made that call yesterday instead of Kelly Johnson, who took an over, and that was
same
more
philosophy.
Obvious. Yeah.
Odorizzi, Vogelsong, 2 good starts in a row now, and he's a 2-start guy next week with 1 home start and 1 at Oakland. Trevor Bauer... Just can't seem to put it together. 5 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 2 Ks at the Dodgers. Tom Kohler was great. 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts against Philadelphia. And in his last 3 starts, he has a 1.89 ERA and over a strikeout per inning. John Dank struck out 10 Angels, gave up 2 runs in 7 2/3, gave up 2 home runs. And Josh Hamilton, his career numbers against John Danks are just amazing, and he homered off him yesterday. Chris Young was mentioned. Tyler Skaggs, 7 2/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts for Skaggs in his first start in about a month.
70 strikes, 17 balls.
Whoa. That was at the White Sox. Charlie Morton, last 6 starts, 4-2, 3.32, 12 walks, 44 strikeouts in 38 innings. Not what we expect from him, but look at the matchups for Morton in those 6 starts. At San Diego, home against the Cubs, at Miami, at the Cubs, at Tampa Bay, home against Arizona.
The last two teams are not especially strikeout prone, the Rays especially. So, and he got
11 strikeouts.
11 against the Rays. What was it, 6 yesterday?
5 yesterday in 6 innings.
Yeah, which is fine.
Well, and he's got a – yesterday's start was at home, and he has a 2.33 ERA there. And he said yesterday, he goes, I didn't even have my best stuff. He says, I wasn't throwing strikes. He said, I just got out of certain situations. So, interesting.
And Chris Tillman strikes out nobody. So, 12 starts for Chris Tillman, he has struck out more than 3 batters once.
Oof.
All right, I gave you a bunch of names. We got Odorizzi, we got Vogelsong, we got Bauer, we got Kohler, Danks, Young, Skaggs, Morton, and Tillman. Give me your 4 favorites there, guys.
That's hard because I'd like to be able to cram about 6 of them.
Give me 1 or 2 guys that must be owned, if there are any in that group.
Yeah, I would say none that must be owned. I think the best ones here are streaming options. Odorizzi has the highest upside. He's also got the lowest floor. I would include him in the 4.
2 home starts next week for Odorizzi. I've been saying his name wrong, and I've infected everyone else. Odorizzi, Kansas City and Toronto at home. So yeah, that could be good for him.
Yeah, and I like that, actually. Okay. Skaggs, Morton, Odorizzi, and I'd rather have Bauer than Vogelsong, but I would start Vogelsong now, whereas I wouldn't start Bauer.
Gotcha.
Morton, Skaggs, I'm fine with Odorizzi, and Vogelsong or Tom Kohler for me. I think Tom Kohler is highly underrated as far as his production and fantasy, what he gives you, so... We'll save Trevor Bauer for the debates because that's one of my critiques of you. So
awesome.
And I want to talk about some guys that are deep league guys for now, and I want you to tell me if they need to be owned in more leagues. Kike Hernandez, and the reason I couldn't find any record of him is his name is Enrique Hernandez. But Kike Hernandez batted .337 with 8 home runs and 31 RBI with 6 steals in AAA. He's second base eligible. And he DH'd for the Astros last night, and he homered.
I also want to help people out, too. So not only do you have to look up Enrique Hernandez for Kike, but if you want to try to find Mookie Betts on Fangraphs, you can't.
Really?
You need to find Marcus with a K.
No kidding.
Marcus Betts.
Interesting.
They're very formal, the Fangraphs.
MILB.com is Enrique Hernandez. Didn't even have Kike.
Oh, yeah.
Hernandez.
No, he's referenced that way all over the place.
Yeah. Couldn't find him anywhere. Anyway, he homered. Marwin Gonzalez homered for the 2nd straight day. Tyler Matzek had a quality start with 6 Ks at Washington. Jacob DeGrom, He's been all right lately. Yesterday wasn't his best. Struggled early. Miles Michaelis looked really good through five innings. And then he faltered a little bit. Walked two. Gave up two. Actually, a relief pitcher came
Jason
on.
Jason Frazier came in.
Two runs.
Yeah.
He's 1% owned. Made his 2014 debut and first start of his career.
He was 0% owned before the start. He's making progress.
There you go. Brandon Workman had a bad start. Gave up two home runs and six earned in four innings. Justin Ruggiano has nine hits in his last six games. And Jay Happ, seven innings, four runs. And he's been better lately. Whatever. So, Kike Hernandez, Marwin Gonzalez, Tyler Matzik, Jacob deGrom, Miles Michaelis, Brandon Workman, Justin Ruggiano, and Jay Happ. Anyone stand out to you as underappreciated, underowned players?
Not one.
Really?
Go ahead, but all those guys are deep league options. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I'll start with Michaelis because he's owned at 1%, and granted, just called up and really off the radar. Wasn't even a starter until a month ago.
Right.
So understandable, but he looked really good in that start. Really impressive. And threw a lot of different pitches, really mixed the speeds up. He could throw like mid-90s, but just didn't often.
It looks like he has like a 90-mile-per-hour sinker, I think, and then like his 95-mile-per-hour four-seamer.
Yeah.
So he's like a different pitcher all in the same game. But my thought on him, Al, was he's been a reliever mostly, and then I looked up his minor league game log. Doesn't really pitch deep into games. So I don't want to make too much of one start, but he never walks anyone. What, he had three walks in the minors?
Right.
And then two in the sixth inning.
Yeah.
So maybe he's not going to be able to go deep into games.
Well, he's got to get stretched out for one thing. Yeah, this is his seventh start since he was in short season A-ball. So, it's going to take a while for Michaelis to get stretched out, but I like what he did.
Yeah, I mean, give him credit, but first of all, I can't trust the guy who eats lizards. Have you seen that video?
I haven't seen it.
That video.
Excuse me?
Have you not seen the lizard video?
A live lizard.
He ate a live lizard.
You're kidding
me. He poured Mountain Dew on it, and he started just, oh my gosh. So he loses points there for me.
It's not a category in my league.
Exactly.
That's freaking weird.
Yeah, and second, listen, his plus curveball. That's his best pitch, and he's got good fastball, but he's a reliever, so he's got two pitches right now. He's working on his changeup, and like you said, I don't really trust a guy that has to get stretched out. I mean, he's going to take his lumps along the way here, so he's deep league for me.
He threw fastballs 66% of the time, but split between his four-seamer and his sinker. Actually threw his curveball 9% of the time and his slider 18%.
And that curveball is pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, look, I was texting with Herc last night, and I kept saying, this guy, Miles Michaelis, looks pretty good. I was thinking about maybe we didn't really have anyone to drop for him, but in that deep 14-team league, like I could see you taking a flyer on him. Anyone else, Al?
Well, Kike Hernandez, if he's going to get some playing time there, I completely overlooked him because I was so excited about Domingo Santana.
Right.
When they called up the three guys. But he's got, a little bit of pop for middle infielder. So,
how about, would you rather have Joe Panik or Kike Hernandez?
I'd rather have Panik. He's going to get more playing time. I just think he's just going to produce more even just on a per-game basis. But, again, deep league guy, AL-only leagues, maybe some very deep mixed leagues.
Would you drop Derek Jeter for Kike Hernandez?
I could see doing that because I just don't expect much from Jeter.
Yeah.
So just on the chance that Hernandez rests playing time from Marwin Gonzalez or, plays DH like he did last night.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Okay.
Why not?
Anyone else?
We mentioned Workman, bad start, but it seems like 60% is underowned for him. And Matzik has had surprisingly good control so far.
Yeah.
I don't know that he should be. I don't know that he's underowned, but he has been better than I expected.
Okay, let's do some injuries, news, and notes, then we'll get to the rankings. Nolan Arenado should be back today. Adrian Gonzalez day to day with a sore neck. Everett Cabrera on the DL with a hamstring strain. Colorado traded for Jair Jurgens. Big news. Big news. Jacoby Ellsbury was banged up. He got the day off. Mark Teixeira had fluid drained from his knee. Could be back tonight at Minnesota. Victor Martinez should play today. Joey Votto did not start yesterday. Ramon Santiago played third. Todd Frazier played first. Joey Votto has not homered since May 10th, but he missed about a month during that stretch. So it's more like hasn't homered since June 10th. Dallas Keuchel is expected to start Friday. Joe Kelly will make two more minor league rehab starts before rejoining the rotation. Brandon Belt will return tomorrow. James Paxton expected to throw a simulated game next week. Carlos Gonzalez is going to take batting practice today. Chris Davis expected to play tomorrow. Adam Wainwright struck out one guy yesterday, and four starts ago, he struck out two. Now, he's been great, but are you guys concerned at all about that?
Yeah, I mean, I took note of it. Yeah, maybe just a little bit, but just something to watch.
Jose Abreu has a 17-game hitting streak. Dominic Brown's on paternity leave, but should be back this weekend. How about Giancarlo Stanton? Stole his eighth base. His previous career high was six. That's pretty, I mean, if he steals 15 bases this year, that's a big deal, I think.
I agree.
You know? Yanhervis Solarte rumored to be on his way down to the minors.
Hmm.
According to my Yankees fan friend, Yvonne, sitting next to me at work today, who I trust.
He is who we thought he was.
Apparently, he tweeted some stuff like that, signaling that he was being sent down. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of adds a little drama to the Ref Snyder situation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's
He's
true.
Been just but, really see, bad, and he made a terrible error yesterday.
I just don't know why they'd bring up a kid who's still young and who needs to play every day just to fill a bench role.
Well, he's not that young. He went to college.
He
he's
did.
Not a high school kid.
But his he has a future as an everyday player. So unless it's September and they're out of the playoff race and stuff like that.
Well, what are they missing with Brian Roberts? I don't care what the players are saying. He's been bad.
He's been bad. And he, you know, but he is, his last few games, I know he's been a little bit better. I'm with you. I mean, I think they should do it. But it sounds like the Yankee players really don't want it. And it sounds like the Yankee front office, you know, isn't on. They like what Ref Snyder's doing. I know what Cashman said. He's like rising through the minors like a meteor. But, you know, Chris Bryant's doing the same thing, and the Cubs aren't going to bring him up. So,
did you guys see what the Yankees did yesterday with the international players?
Just saw that they signed a whole bunch.
Yeah, it's BS. Basically, they have to pay a 100% tax on the money that they spend over their allotted pool, which was like $2 million. And they spent like $13 million or something like that. So they have to But it's ridiculous. It's like, for them, it's chump change. And they got five of the top nine international prospects yesterday, according to one list. I think Major League Baseball's list or something like that. Mike Exisa wrote about it on CBSSports.com. Just go to CBSSports.com/MLB. It's interesting. And it's probably not a harsh enough penalty to prevent big market teams from getting the international players. It's kind of dirty. Mark Mulder watched Moneyball and live tweeted it.
That was great.
Pretty interesting.
That was great.
And Eric Hosmer went 1-for-2 with an RBI and three walks. Demote that. That's going to be a daily segment.
Yep.
As long as he keeps producing. All right, rankings review, guys. Who wants to start?
Why don't you go, Adam?
Me?
Herc. Since you're the first to email.
Jason Kipnis, number 9 in your Roto rankings at second base. That's insane.
All right. Let's get my notes. All right. Here's what Jason Kipnis is on pace for.
I don't care what he's on pace for.
Six home runs, 44 RBI, 16 stolen bases, and 54 runs. I know what you're saying. He's a 30 stolen base guy in the past, but he's not on pace for that. He's on pace for half of that this season.
No. He has eight in 58 games.
He's on pace for 16.
He can't be on pace for 16.
He missed time. So
right,
he's not.
But on a per-game basis, he's stealing more than that.
Well, then complain to who's ever doing our on-pace stats on our site.
No. I mean, I get it because we're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
But, okay, the thing with Kipnis is that the power hasn't been there. He's got three home runs this year. He hit 17 last year. He hit 11 of those home runs in May and June.
Yeah.
So he's a streaky guy. He's going to get hot.
So the point I just want to make is that, and I've said this a lot of times, second base is really deep this year. And you look at the eight guys I have in front of them. We're halfway through the season. All these guys keep producing. Jason Kipnis, I think Generous is number 9. I still have him in front of Pedroia. So I think he can obviously bounce back in the second half. But while we're on this, you have Ian Kinsler down where I have Jason Kipnis, which I think that's egregious. I have Ian Kinsler as, I believe, my number 2 second baseman. He started the year as a top 5 guy. He's done nothing to fall down the rankings. Ian Kinsler is – I can't find one fantasy owner who has Ian Kinsler who doesn't like what Ian Kinsler is doing.
And to I guess it's kind of weird, yeah. Al's number 2 second baseman is Jason Kipnis.
Yeah.
So Herc's number 2 second baseman is Kinsler. Al's is Kipnis, and the two of them have both of the other – whatever. You know what I'm saying. Outside their top 8.
Yeah.
All right, Al.
All right, Kipnis. Sorry, I'm sorry, not Kipnis. I like Kipnis.
Yeah, I know you
do. Kinsler. It's confusing with these names that start with K-I.
I know, and play second base.
Yeah, there's a bevy of them. So my concerns from Kipnis going back to probably like a month or two ago was just noticing that his plate discipline has really kind of gone down the drain. Now, it's worked for him in a way because he's got this really low strikeout rate, and that's, you know, something that's been typical for him, but he's gotten better there. He's not walking. Okay, so that's the one thing that he's actually, in terms of what he's actually done, that I could point to and be discouraged by.
Wait, is this but Kinsler or Kipnis?
This is Kinsler.
Oh, you said Kipnis. That's why I was confused.
Okay, yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. I thought he said Kipnis.
I'm talking about Kinsler here.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so Kinsler, the plate display is just, the chase rate is way up this year. Now, he's producing a lot because he's hitting a lot of doubles. The home run power, I underestimated, and I think that's certainly one area where I've sold him short for sure, because he's on about a 20-homer pace. I think Kinsler can maintain that. On that basis alone, I probably do need to move him up maybe a couple spots. But I don't see putting him in the top five because I think a lot of those doubles are going to dry up. He's not typically a high BABIP guy. He's above average in that regard so far. Not crazily so, but I do think that the batting average and the doubles are going to recede. And so he's going to be a guy who's going to have good power, an okay batting average. I think that's going to go down, and not a great OBP.
He's going to score a lot, though. I don't know how you can put him behind Aaron Hill and Chase Utley. That feels like an adjustment.
And I'll agree. So congratulations, Ian Kinsler. You are now the seventh ranked.
Ninth. Because you have 11th.
Oh, okay. But, sorry, I thought you said, okay.
Adam, it's your turn to rebuke my Jason Kipnis argument.
No, I mean, I just think we haven't seen the best from Jason Kipnis, not even close. He's young.
Sure.
He's been good for two seasons. It slumped at the end of his first full season, but that happens to a lot of players. And he's just proven himself to be a streaky player. He spent some time on the DL. I just think the best is yet to come for Jason Kipnis. I don't really have any doubts about that.
I mean, I'm
neither
fine
is Al,
with that.
Apparently.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, and I can move him up. But what I want to make the point is second base is deep, and those eight guys in front of him deserve all the credit in the world for what they've done so far. And that's the point I want to make. That
all right?
I don't. All those guys right now are some of the best fantasy players, in my opinion.
No, but
so.
Not Carpenter and Roto.
But Carpenter has produced better than Kipnis, so he definitely deserves to be in front of him. And the way you feel about Jason Kipnis is the way I feel about Matt Carpenter turning around in the second half.
So. Yeah, I love Carpenter in a points league, but in a Roto league or categories league,
right? The home
Kipnis
runs, yeah,
already has more home runs and more steals than Carpenter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Again, you know,
much worse batting.
I'd move. Where's Carpenter now on my list? Do I have six,
fifth,
six. Yeah. I mean, I can move him down closer to Kipnis, and you know, you wanted to talk about like D Gordon. I mean, D Gordon's just, boy, he needs to move maybe second base. He needs to be higher and shortstop. He's just become such a great player in both formats.
All right, Al.
Yeah.
Let's go to a new argument. It's your turn to nominate a player.
All right. Well, we were talking shortstop before we talked Simmons. Let's also talk J.J. Hardy.
J.J. Hattie.
Herc hates him.
Yeah, you've got him. All right, wait a second. I've left my shortstop right
22nd.
But yeah, 22nd.
That's insane.
All right, in my defense, Scott has him 19, so we're not too far off.
Well, we'll deal with Scott when he comes back.
Okay. Al has him 10th.
I'll start. I'll just say he's had 1 week of 20-plus fantasy points. All right, he's on pace for 293, 4 home runs, 40 RBI, and 56 runs. You know, he might not have a high strikeout rate, but he doesn't have a walk much either, so in points leagues, it doesn't really help. You know, again, in the weeks to come, like with Andrelton Simmons, I definitely can move them up 5-6 spots, but I just don't like him as a top 15 shortstop right now.
And right. By the way, the rankings, 10th for Al, 22nd for Herc, are the same in points in Roto for all you Roto owners out there.
Okay, here's the thing. So you say you don't like him as a top 15 shortstop. And I think that shortstop gets pretty weak after pretty much about the top 10 or 11. So I don't know if you just see it differently that way. But like, what would make you think that Hardy's going to be in the second half what he was in the first half?
What does he show me that he's going to turn around with 2.5 months into the season?
All the years prior to this one where he hit for power consistently.
Last year he had 9 home runs in the second half.
That's a lot.
That's going to put him up to 13 this season, right?
Right, but we're talking rest of season.
Yeah, these are that rest of season rankings.
That puts him on an 18 home run pace for the whole year.
But okay, so but there's been years where Adam LaRoche is a second half player, but Adam LaRoche has had bad second halves. So I'm my thing.
So you're expecting a bad second half.
I haven't seen anything where he's going to turn it around.
He's batting .290 something.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't he struggling defensively too? Isn't his whole all around game not been very good this year?
I don't think so. I think he had that one like two or three error game. But I think
there was a little stretch I know where he was bad. If he's been bad defensively the whole season, I have not.
Yeah, I don't
that.
Think so.
This is a walk year for him too, right?
It is. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, that motivation again. I could easily move him up to 15 in a matter of 2 weeks. Not a problem to me, but I just don't. I wouldn't like. I don't know even who I like. You're talking about like I had owned Brad Miller. I think we had this conversation on Monday. Mm-hmm. You guys asked me Brad Miller, JJ Hardy. You know, Adam and Scott actually went Hardy. I went Brad Miller. I think Brad Miller is a better option. And that's what I was saying earlier. Like you know, the 10 to 20 range, they're all jumbled to me. Like you said, absolutely. Maybe the first 10 shortstops are the guys, but I just can't see right now. JJ Hardy's showing me nothing where he's going to turn it around.
All right, I'm looking, trying to find his fielding stats. What the heck does all this mean? UZR.
Ultimate zone rating.
Yeah, I know. 6.8 this year. It was 6.0 last year.
Are you on Baseball Reference?
No,
6.8 is greater than 6.0.
Baseball Reference has this fielding percentage and all that stuff. So,
well, fielding percentage is, you know, whatever.
Well, if you're committing errors, can't be doing that.
I don't know. I don't think there's been a problem with his defense. I'm trying to find his defensive war. I can't believe I'm looking up this crap. anyway, Al, do you have a point you want to make about JJ Hardy?
I thought I could pretty much gone over the fact that I just don't think there's any reason to think that he can't be who he's been the last several seasons.
Yeah, I don't see why. If he were hitting .230, it'd be one thing, but he's still hitting well. He's still
.293, I think. Yeah,
right. So I mean, the batting average should probably come down, but he's going to hit more home runs. He's not a four home run guy. That's ridiculous.
Hey, is Robinson Cano a five home run guy? Or I mean, he's up to eight now, or whatever, right?
No, I don't think so. I think he's got five or six.
Yeah, I mean, is Robinson Cano that? But have we seen anything?
But he moved to a different ballpark, and we expect him to hit more home runs. JJ Hardy,
yeah, I would
still
make the exact same argument with Robinson. Yeah, Cano. He's still my number one second baseman because I don't think at this stage of his career that Cano is falling off the table.
But if you look at their fantasy production, Cano's still producing without the home runs. JJ Hardy is not producing without the home runs.
Hardy's
been
one
week of 20 plus fantasy points.
Yeah,
one
but has he had any horrible weeks? Let me see where he ranks.
Yes, he's had horrible
overall.
Weeks. Yes, he has had bad fantasy weeks.
I bet you he's much better than the 22nd best shortstop overall right now, and I will tell you in a second. But in the meantime,
again, like I said, I have Santana and Suarez there, and I can easily move him ahead of those, but I like those guys' upside for what they've been doing and what J.J. Hardy hasn't been doing.
Oh, my God, he's not better than the 22nd? That's
horrible.
He's like 23rd. He's worse than Jeter.
Herc's overrating him.
So there you go. See?
I'm surprised, man. Right, I really am surprised.
I'm right on track. And Scott has him 19, so two against one. All right, Al?
I'm surprised.
Is this a democracy in here?
It's a Hercocracy.
All right.
And Al's ranking of Hyunjin Ryu outside his top 50 makes my blood boil.
I know it does.
His strikeout rate, his walk rate are slightly up. And well, slightly better than they were last year. Basically, he looks like the same exact pitcher he was last year. You know what that was?
What was that?
The number 24 starting pitcher in fantasy.
What was
No. Number 29. This year he's number 24 in points and number 28 in Roto. And he's on pace for more wins. And there's no reason to think he won't be a good wins pitcher. So 9-4 for Ryu, 3.08 ERA. He has some games where he strikes out like two or three guys, and then he has a game like yesterday where he strikes out eight. I think it was eight. So, again, you know, you look at, what was it, Darvish? I know it was Darvish and Kuroda, I think. I gave two or three examples of pitchers who, in their second year over from Japan,
their
strikeout rates went up, their walk rates went down.
But
Daisuke was good in his second year, too, right?
I'm not sure. So I just don't see how Hyunjin Ryu is not.
Yeah, his strikeout rate has barely moved Ryu's.
It's a little bit up. But again, even if it doesn't go up, it doesn't matter because last year he was the number 29 starting pitcher in fantasy in both formats. His whip's good, and he wins games, and his ERA is super low.
Yeah, I just You know, I don't view it as a knock that I have Ryu 51st, right behind Chris Archer, Kevin Gosman for the upside.
I'll take Ryu over those upside guys any day of the week because he is so consistent, and I feel like I can start him anywhere. Even Hughes was good at Colorado.
All right. Well, I'll grant you that he is relatively consistent, and he's not a guy I worry about with matchups and venues. So I will give you that. I have no problem having him behind the guys that I have and having him ahead of mostly it's upside guys that I have him ahead of, but also Santana, Jason Hamill, Willie Peralta. Yeah, I don't think he's really a whole lot better than Willie Peralta. I do have him, almost 10 spots, 9 spots ahead of Willie Peralta. But I think they're kind of similar guys. Peralta's a better ground ball pitcher. Ryu's a better control pitcher. But they both are better than average in that regard. And they're both kind of average strikeout pitchers. So, yeah, there's a pretty good comp, I think. He's Willie Peralta with a better ballpark and better control.
I think I agree with that, but I think I have both pitchers in my top 50. I don't have my computer in front of me.
No, you have Ryu like top 30 almost.
Yeah, and Peralta I have top 52, so.
Yeah,
and
you have Ryu 28th.
Yeah,
I love it.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
And
yeah.
I think there's room for Ryu to regress. Because I think he could probably give up more homers. He's not, Dodger Stadium's okay as a pitcher's park, but it's not extreme. He's not an extreme ground ball guy. He's very sort of neutral in that regard.
All right.
So, yeah, I think there's room for Ryu to take a few steps back.
Let's do one or two more.
All right. I want to talk about Bartolo Colon. I think you want to rip me apart for that one. So
sure, yeah.
All right, go ahead. So I have Bartolo.
Al's not a big rip you apart kind of guy, but Al does have him 85th, and you have him 38, Bartolo Colon.
So there's a little discrepancy there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, and Scott has him 96, I believe. Here's my thing with Bartolo Colon. I can't tell fantasy owners to leave fantasy points on waivers.
Think about Roto, please.
No, I'm thinking, and I have Roto here.
Okay.
All right, let me get. So he hasn't had less than 28 fantasy points in the last five scoring periods. He's broken 30 fantasy points 5 times. He's a top 50 pitcher, including relievers, in Roto. And he's top 35 in head-to-head. And last season, he was top 20 in Roto and top 15 in head-to-head formats. He struggled at the beginning of the season, but as you point out many times, he only really had 3 bad starts. And he wasn't really getting any run support. Now he doesn't need the run support. He's pitching deep into games. He's striking out guys. He's picking up wins. Bartolo Colon started slow, but his last, I think, 2 months have been really strong. When I say he's a top 40 pitcher, especially in head-to-head formats, I'm saying he's good enough to start most weeks. And if you don't like the matchup, you can take him out of your lineup. But I can't tell fantasy owners to leave that many points on waivers. It's just ludicrous. And I think he can finish as a top 40 pitcher. He has to have a pretty bad second half to move way down the rankings to 96 or in the 80s, in my opinion.
Al is ludicrous, is basically what you said. All right, Al. Bartolo Colon, just rip him apart.
All right. I don't want to rip Bartolo Colon. I don't. But look, he's a great control pitcher. Maybe the best one in the major leagues. I don't really trust the strikeout rate, not at this age for him to take a big jump.
Right.
And we've seen guys, we've seen Doug Fister, Rick Porcello, and that's a different story because Porcello's been awesome lately. But, Doug Fister, where he's gone through stretches and been more than just an awesome control pitcher, but, be average or maybe slightly better with strikeouts. And, mm-hmm. and then that passes. And, I expect the same with Colon, except unlike Fister, I do think Colon is a threat to give up extra base hits. If I look at his total line, I know there's been really low lows and some very high highs, but the overall thing here looks very sustainable except for the 6.7 Ks per nine, but an ERA around 4. The whip's going to be good. That's a given with Colon. The whip's going to be good, but a very mediocre ERA. And let's talk about the wins and run support. He's 8-6. I don't really expect a Mets pitcher that's not, like Matt Harvey level, to have a winning record for the Mets this year. And Colon's getting 4.7 runs of support per 9 innings. I don't think the Mets are giving that to most pitchers.
Yeah, he's pitching deep into games. I think he's a threat for 15 wins, in my opinion. He's that good of a pitcher. And this is a perfect segue because strikeouts are a little bit overrated in some sense. The fact that you have Trevor Bauer, number, 45 in your rankings, right? Mm-hmm. So you're saying Bartolo's in the 80s, Bauer's in 45, right?
Yep.
Bauer's averaging 9.5 fantasy points per start this season.
Yeah, that ranking is not retrospective. It is not based on what he's done. It's based on what he is capable of doing in the future.
What he's capable of doing. I haven't seen that either, like J.J. Hardy.
We did see it in May with Bauer when he was getting strikeouts and not walking guys.
But he still was giving up the home runs. He's giving up the runs.
Back at that, no. I think the first few starts, we can look. I don't think he was.
I gotcha.
But look at his fantasy production over that stretch. It wasn't Bartolo Colon-esque.
Well, look, the deceiving thing about fantasy points is that wins change things so much. In fact, I was hoping Hyunjin Ryu would get the win last night because then my argument would be even stronger. Probably be up another few points.
Is it 7 points in standard?
7 points for a win, and then what is it, 3 for a quality start?
So you still take 7 points away from
not more.
Cologne in all those weeks, and he's still above 20 fantasy points. That's amazing. Trevor Bauer can't do that.
Yeah. The thing that we keep saying about Cologne is that he's had 3 bad starts this year, and two were at Yankee Stadium at Colorado.
Yeah, I'm not saying Cologne has not been really good. Yeah. I'm saying I don't expect him to continue to be that good.
Three of Trevor Bauer's first 4 starts were 6 innings and 2 earned runs or less.
My argument is I think you and Scott need at least move him up because for the fact that he's got to have the worst second half of any pitcher in Major League Baseball to fall back to the 80th, 90th ranked
pitcher.
But
it's not a full season ranking. It's a rest of season ranking.
I still can't see him being that bad in the second half.
I'm kind of with Herc, but he's a low upside guy because of the strikeouts. And I don't know. It's tough in a roto or a category league to start him when he might sink you in strikeouts. I don't know if he'll sink you. That might be a little steep.
But what about the other categories?
Yeah,
wins, ERA, whip. So
yeah, I. All right. Well.
I want to look at something here. Okay. So Chris Young. Okay. So I've got him 114. Herc, you got him 120. So we value Chris Young about the same. Chris Young is not going to strike out as many guys as Cologne, which is really saying something.
Yeah.
Because I think Cologne could go back to being like a 5K per 9 guy, and I don't even think Chris Young is going to do that. But there's not much room to go below that. He's not going to walk guys, but he's going to give up way fewer hits than Cologne because that's just what he does. He's, a typical pitcher has a 300 BABIP. Chris Young, a normal for him, is like 250, 260.
Yeah.
So he can make up for the contact and for the extra walks.
Look at
by what he does on balls in play. Yeah. So to me, he's playing for a team. Chris Young pitches for a team that's going to give him better run support than the Mets are going to give Cologne. And I think the whip is going to be comparable. And the ERA could actually be lower. So I don't see that much difference fantasy-wise between Chris Young and Bartolo Cologne.
Well, where's Chris Young's ranked fantasy points right now, and has his fantasy points has been consistent as Bartolo Colon? Bartolo Colon is reliable right now.
Young is going to be inconsistent because it's going to vary a lot based on who he's pitching against and where he's pitching.
He's a guy that shouldn't be rostered. Bartolo Colon is a guy that should be rostered, and you're going to start on most weeks.
Maybe a difference between the two is quality starts. Chris Young seems to have more 5-inning starts. Like, he's had 3 in his last 6. But he's actually been on a tear right now, Chris Young. He's given up 4 runs in his last 4 starts.
And I'm not saying he's better than Cologne, but I'm saying he's close enough that it would call into question putting Cologne in my top 60 when I don't even have Young in the top 100.
I'm not an upside guy with Bauer, so I rather have the consistency of Bartolo Cologne over Trevor Bauer.
We have more. We'll save more for next week.
All right.
Good time. Here's your stat of the day that I didn't see until I just looked it up now. How many swinging strikes do you think Justin Verlander had yesterday?
6.
3.
1.
Ooh.
That's bad. Yesterday's start was not a good one.
He got off to a rough one, yeah.
He gave up 2 towering home runs in the first inning. He got out of a bases-loaded jam a little bit later. And he didn't – what did he strike out? 4? So he had 4 on 9 hits in 6 innings, 2 runs, no walks, 4 strikeouts, 2 homers against Oakland. And I looked at it more as a negative than a positive, especially when I see the swinging strikes. 1 swinging strike all game. How about you guys?
Yeah, that definitely puts it in a different light. I also, you know, I want to take a look at that full line from him because he just may be finding a different way to succeed and you know, not, you know, kind of what we've been speculating with Lincecum is, you know, maybe finally learning to pitch with less velocity. Now, it's less of an issue for Verlander because the velocity isn't down that much, but...
Yeah.
You know, I just...
Well, what do you want to know? He threw a lot of strikes.
Okay, well, that would be the first thing, actually.
He had 22 strikes looking. 67 strikes and 103 pitches.
See, that makes me a little more optimistic. And again, it's one start, so fluky things, both in terms of called strikes, swinging strikes, can happen to any pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to put that in the context of his previous two starts, where the results were good.
About the same percentage of strikes, very similar.
Because remember, control was the really big problem for Verlander most of the season.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he didn't walk anyone. That's very encouraging. Same percentage of strikes. 68 strikes, 70 strikes, 67 strikes, and about the same amount of pitches. Ground ball, fly ball, fairly similar. 13 fly ball outs was
a
lot.
He's one of the bigger
but
fly ball pitchers.
Last four games was 7, 10, 10, and 8 for Verlander.
So I'm glad you raised that because it's definitely a red flag.
But only two line drives. So I guess I don't want to make too much of it. But I didn't think it was – I wouldn't look at it as another like start to signify that he's back. That's all I'm saying. Because he gave up 9 hits and only struck out 4 in 6 innings, and he gave up 2 home runs. And in the first inning, I mean, the pitch Coco Crisp hit was a 92-mile-per-hour fastball. Then he was throwing like 95 later. But whatever. There's that. Josh Harrison sat yesterday with Polanco, McCutchen, and Marte in the outfield.
Had to happen sometime.
Neil Walker's struggling, though, so keep an eye on that. Washington has had the same lineup for all three of Bryce Harper's games except at catcher. Harper in left, Span in center, Worth in right, Espinosa sitting, and Matt Williams said Harper's eventually going to move up from sixth in the order. Raul Ibanez homered for Kansas City. Lorenzo Cain was getting a day off. Gerard Dyson started and stole a base. And manager Freddie Garcia for the Braves said he has not entertained the thought of putting Evan Gattis in the outfield to ease the burden on Gattis' back. Mookie Betts started in center. He went 2-for-5 with a home run. And he scored twice, and he has 1 walk, 1 strikeout in 4 games. And Oscar Tavares played center field last night for the first time. I think, right? First time?
I believe so.
And he went 1-for-3 with a double and a strikeout.
And just to complete the outfield call-up trifecta, Domingo Santana struck out in all of his bats yesterday.
I mean, the fact that they keep calling these guys up, Singleton, Springer, Santana, they're gonna lead the league in strikeouts by the end of the year.
Yeah.
They're going to catch up to the Marlins. trade stuff. San Diego president Mike D says he does not expect to trade Houston Street. Seth Smith unlikely to get traded now that he signed a 2-year deal worth $13 million.
That's really good news for Seth Smith owners, I think.
And GM Sandy Alderson told John Heyman that the Mets don't expect to trade Jonathan Neese. Would you guys like to apologize to Brett Gardner for not showing him enough love? He is the number 16 outfielder in fantasy. He's not in your top 40.
Is he the Bartolo Colon of the outfield? Not getting the respect he deserves?
He just finds ways to produce. Actually, I don't think you guys are all that low, except Al in points leagues. Al's got him 60th in points leagues. Blows my mind. But you guys have him in the 40s in Roto. Al has him the highest, 41st. Come on, Al. Move him up. Move him up.
Well, you know, last time you said that, I did, so.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, you stabbed him lower.
Now he's 60.
Me too, yeah.
He's a good player.
See, it's in the back of the mind. Like, you know, we hear Adam, Brett Gardner.
And let me tell you guys something. He's going to slump at some point because that's what he does because he's a 270 career hitter, which is weird with his speed. And when he starts slumping, you wait like a few days, and then you pick him up because he's going to get hot as hell after that.
He's owned in 93% of fantasy leagues.
I know, and then people are going to drop him. He's going to go down to like 75%, and that's when you swoop in there and you ride the Brett Gardner wave.
Well, he's been better than Michael Morse lately.
Michael Morse batted 233 with 2 home runs in June. His 2 home runs came on June 4th and June 5th. So he hasn't homered in a month, basically.
So he and Joey Votto should get together.
Yeah. any concerns about Morse?
I'm not there yet. I mean, I do sound a little hesitant just for the fact that baseball players go through these kind of slumps and they talk about it. And he just got so much power potential.
Yeah.
I Herc and I agree.
Yeah, all right. Amen. First time 55 minutes in the show.
Is Jesse Chavez droppable?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you drop him for Odorizzi?
I would do that, yeah, because I like Odorizzi for the two-start week coming up.
Al, would you drop Jesse Chavez for Hyunjin Ryu? Probably not, right? You drop Hyunjin Ryu for Miles Michaelis?
I've done that in all my weeks.
Herc, would you drop Jesse Chavez for Charlie Morton?
The Sparp. In points leagues, the Sparp, I'll hold on to Chavez. In Roto, I'd consider it.
In the bullpen, Brad Boxberger got a save. Tampa Bay's bullpen's been used quite a bit lately. That's what happens when you sweep the worst team in baseball. Jordan Walden got a save with Craig Kimbrel unavailable. And Sergio Romo pitched a scoreless ninth in a non-save situation. Jeremy Affeld pitched two-thirds in the eighth. Yeah, I still feel like Casilla is going to be getting the lion's share there.
I agree.
Joe Maddon is just killing me with the saves now. I mean, he just doesn't care. He's just throwing anybody out there.
I just don't. Let me check McGee. I feel like McGee had pitched in three in a row. So I feel like that was a rest thing yesterday.
He's gone to this, has anybody blown a save?
No.
Yes.
Oh.
2 days ago, Brian Roberts homered off.
Oh, Peralta. You're right.
Oh, yep.
So.
And McGee pitched. No, he pitched the 27th, 28th, 30th, and the first. So he had pitched four of the last
Joe,
5 days.
Well, maybe it's just Joe Maddon liked Boxberger's karma yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, his pet dog was in the hotel lobby, so his karma.
The thing with Joe Maddon is he's a guy that doesn't like signing roles, and you know, even when Rodney was his closer, he refused to name him his closer.
Yeah, and Farnsworth too.
Right.
Wait until September.
So I could see this going on, and he may go to Jake McGee 5 days in a row and never name him his closer. We'll never know.
Yep.
Five emails, 3 minutes. Ready? Angel from Milwaukee, 12-team head-to-head points league. I'm worried about Chu. I'm benching him next week for a red-hot Seager.
I'm worried about Angel too.
Chu's got the ankle injury. That's the
only
thing.
No, he said I'm worried about Chu.
Oh. Nice. I'm thinking about trading Chu for a Sparp.
Oh,
Richards, Alex Wood, or Verlander, who's not a Sparp. Would you guys do that?
And he says that.
That's killing me, Al. That's just too funny.
Thank you, Herc. You know, I mean, I think it's a bad time to trade Chu, but Richards and Wood might be worth it.
Not Verlander?
Well, okay. I mean, I was looking at the Sparps, but yeah, actually, again, that's a good,
it's a good haul.
Sell low, Chu for Verlander. Yeah, I like him.
From Tom, he says, "Dear Ned, Rob, and John."
No.
Yes, Herc, you know this.
I don't want to waste time. Tell me.
They're Starks, man.
Wait,
is John? Oh, yeah.
He's a snow, right. But
I noticed the CBSSports.com hate for James Jones, so maybe you guys aren't the best choice for an opinion.
Wow.
That said, I picked up James Jones yesterday.
All right, I got to look at the rankings. How hateful are we here?
I mean, he's great in stolen bases. What else is...
Scoring runs.
Yeah.
Batting second for them.
So you give me 2 of 5 categories in Roto, and that makes him a must-own guy, right?
I think he's batting like 290, isn't he?
A little below. He's been up and down. I am the high man here, so I'm the least hateful.
What do you have?
61st in Roto, I think 70-something in points.
Anyway, the question is, Brad Miller, Neil Walker, Mookie Betts, Angelton Simmons, Xander Bogaerts, which three do you go with? Miller, Walker, Betts, Simmons, Bogaerts.
Miller, Betts, and Bogaerts.
Miller, Simmons, and Bogaerts.
I don't think we can just ignore how bad Xander Bogaerts has been and how much he's been striking out.
No, we can't. And, you know, the D word is being used, demotion. Not that they're doing it, but it's a question that is being asked of the Red Sox.
The D word. So
ooh, I'm telling your wife.
Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't hear, so.
Oh, I said Al said the D word.
But I don't think we can ignore how good he was before the slump either.
Except he wasn't really that good. He was just walking.
But what are you missing out? I tried to trade Neil Walker in the Dynasty League.
It was a separate thought. It wasn't choosing the other guys over him. It was just a separate thought.
Okay. Well, yeah.
From Julio. Dear Michael McManus, Roger Verbelkint, and agent Dave Kujan? I don't know how to pronounce it. But that's – Verbelkint is from Usual Suspects. Amazing movie. I'm in a head-to-head categories league with 3 utility spots – and the normal positions. I have Nolan Arenado, so who do I drop to activate Arenado? Beltran, Teixeira, Dickerson, JD Martinez, Napoli, or Todd Frazier?
Carlos Beltran.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, it's going to be a Yankee for me. Sure. Beltran.
Lou in Boston, grade the trade. 10-team, 5x5 roto, OBP instead of average. I give Rizzo and Josh Harrison. I get Morneau and Dozier.
Oh, that is a B+.
I like Anthony Rizzo. I'll give it a C.
Kevin from London, Ontario. Dear Marion, Rob, and Kwame. I have no idea. I'll look it up. Sitting in playoff contention in a 20-team keeper league, I get Greg. Oh no, I got Gregory Polanco in the 20th round this year, which means I can keep him in the 16th next year, the 12th the year after, the 8th, the 4th, etc. I've been offered Puig, Strasburg, and David Robertson. I guess it's for Polanco.
He goes into what rounds and stuff. No, just you can win now with all three of those players.
Yeah. Giving up Polanco for Puig, Strasburg, and Robertson?
See, my thing with keeper leagues...
20-team league.
Just real quick. If you can win now, make the trades. Because you just don't know what's going to happen next year and the year after. Unless the guys... This is great value for Polanco, I get it. But Puig, Strasburg, and Robertson can help you win now. So win now.
You know what he says? Keep in mind it's a 20-team league when considering the rounds. So that's great value for Puig. And actually not even bad... value for Robertson in the 9th round.
Yeah, make that trade. And I have no idea who those guys are. Could be like him and his friends. Kwame, Marion, and Rob. We're done. Thank you, guys. And,
thank you, Adam.
We got a mailbag show coming up later today that we're going to air tomorrow. So happy with July 4th, everybody. See you later.